Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back here on The Fan. We get you set for week four for your fantasy football team. And joining me right now, Evan Silva of Roto World. Evan, how you doing?
How's it going, man? I'm doing pretty well.
I'm all right. Well, this is a partially selfish question, but partially a question for everybody out there. Calvin Ridley last week set the world on fire. He got in the end zone three times. Is he now in a position where he should be started every single week? Can you safely start him every week based on what happened last week for Atlanta?
Yeah, he was actually pretty good the week before, too. So he strung together a couple of pretty good games, 13 targets. You know, he's not seeing monster volume, so that's a little bit of a concern. But I think that he has emerged as the number two passing game option in Atlanta. And you have to understand the state of Atlanta's team right now. They have lost so many good players on their defense. Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen, both of their starting safeties, Deion Jones, their stud middle linebacker. This team, in order to continue to stay competitive, is going to have to score points, and they're going to need Calvin Ridley. So I think you can expect 6 to 8 targets from him going forward. He has big play ability. I like him this week in this potential shootout against the Bengals. The Bengals have been getting hurt pretty badly by wide receivers. Devin Funchess last week had a good game against them. So I think that Calvin Ridley is a solid start this week, and we'll continue to evaluate him on a week-to-week basis, but I do expect him to be a fantasy factor the rest of the way.
So what do you do if you're an owner with Mohamed Sanu? I mean, do you almost give up on him? Because the targets you would think are not going to be as high as maybe as expected when he was second on the depth chart.
Right, and he is still technically playing more snaps than Calvin Ridley, but they do not call as many plays for Mohamed Sanu. He just does not have that big play ability that Calvin Ridley brings to the table. I think that Mohamed Sanu is just a guy that you can keep on your bench. But, you know, he would need like Julio Jones or Calvin Ridley to get hurt at this point in order to become a guy that you could count on as a fantasy starter.
Who benefits the most in your mind? And maybe the answer is Jarvis Landry, but who benefits the most from Baker Mayfield taking over now, probably permanently as a starting quarterback for the Browns?
Yeah, I think that everybody in the offense benefits because the offense was not functional with Tyrod Taylor back there. They just were not running an offense that suited the strengths of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor at his best has been a guy who played in a run-first offense. You know, you would use him on read option plays, and, you know, you would throw the occasional deep ball with him. But they were trying to run like a pass first offense with Tyrod Taylor. That was a disaster. I mean, they were, you know, Tyrod Taylor, I think is still, even though he didn't even finish last game, I think he's taken the most sacks of any quarterback in the NFL, or he's still top three. So they just did not, and they weren't completing passes at a high rate. I think his completion percentage was like in the 40s. So I think that their completion rate just as an offense is going to get into the 60s with Baker Mayfield. And David Njoku benefits, and Jarvis Landry, who you mentioned, benefits. And I think a guy that's a really interesting sleeper this week, I'm going to be playing him in Daily Fantasy, is Antonio Callaway, who last week had 10 targets, didn't catch many of them. But I like to see that he's getting that usage and that they're trying to feed him the rock. This week he plays a Raiders defense that has given up the third most 20-plus yard completions in the NFL. And that is Antonio Callaway's bread and butter. Think of a player like Santonio Holmes.
Right.
That's the player that he reminds me of. He's got that big play ability, and he's really cheap in daily fantasy this week.
Interesting. We're talking to Evan Silva. I remember during the preseason a lot of hype about Christian Kirk, and early on he just wasn't getting enough targets. He had a nice performance last week. Where do you view Kirk right now on the pecking order?
Yeah, you know, he did have a good week last week. He had 7 for 90 on 8 targets. I just don't trust this offense still. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back this week and has like 3 for 34, you know? So I want to see like a sustained high level of usage and production from him before we start thinking about him as a fantasy starter. He definitely, like in PPR leagues, he makes some sense as a guy to put on your bench and see what happens. Hopefully Josh Rosen can get this offense moving, because Sam Bradford certainly was not moving the offense. Sam Bradford looked like he was ready to retire. I think that Josh Rosen cannot possibly be any worse, but I'm still kind of in wait and see mode with Christian Kirk.
We're talking to Evan Silva. I know a buddy of mine who did this from the other night with Jared Goff, looking at the Viking defense, saying, maybe this is the week to sit Jared Goff. And he's obviously regretting it, considering he threw for about 8,000 yards and 37 touchdowns. Is Goff moving into a territory where you play him every week, where you don't even overanalyze the matchups and say, with the weapons that he has, with the coach that he has, I got to play Jared Goff every single week?
Yeah, I actually had the same dilemma myself in a couple of leagues, because I do have Jared Goff. And it definitely crossed my mind, should I not play him against the Vikings? But the Vikings were without their top pass rusher, Everson Griffin, their number two cornerback, Trey Waynes, had gotten hurt the week before. So they were kind of shorthanded in terms of their pass defense. And their defense has given up a lot of points. Their home road splits have been crazy. And they have been giving up a lot of points in road games. So I wasn't totally confident about it, but I thankfully stuck with him, and he just shredded. I do believe that they have reached the point of being a matchup-proof offense, and we're going to be starting Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley against everyone, regardless of opponent.
If you are one of those guys who drafted Le'Veon Bell, first of all, our condolences. Second of all, what do you do in this situation? Do you try to ship him out to anybody who thinks, well, he's going to come back week 8, week 9, and get what you can get? Or is that one of those things where you just hold on and hope that he does come back and can help your team? How do you handle the Le'Veon Bell situation if you're an owner right now?
I think that the first thing you think about doing is you look at the team that has James Conner, and you see if you can get a decent piece in return for Le'Veon Bell, and tell them that, hey, you can lock up the Pittsburgh backfield here if you take Le'Veon Bell off my hands, because I don't want to deal with this problem anymore. But he gives you a sense of security. If you can't get a decent piece in return, you want a guy that you can start every week in exchange for Le'Veon Bell, because it is possible that he shows up at some point, especially if the Steelers start reeling off wins and he's like, this is hurting my contract leverage and all this. Those are your options. I think you look at the James Conner owner, and if not, you hold him on your bench.
Right now, if you're a Gronk owner, are you just patiently waiting, or do you start to get worried that, there's a handful of guys. Will Disley has more fantasy points than Rob Gronkowski right now. That's not a knock on him. He's been a nice surprise, especially if you picked him up after the first or second week. But where's your nervous level for Gronk right now?
I'm not too worried about it. I think that the primary reason that the Patriots went out and got Josh Gordon was to create some extra space on the field for Rob Gronkowski, because the last 2 weeks in particular, he was great in week one. He had, 7 for 123 and a touchdown against the Texans. But the last 2 weeks, teams, and especially against Detroit, they stuck multiple guys on him, and, there's just not a whole lot that he could do in that situation. So I think that they brought in Josh Gordon to be, like, a clear-out guy, and particularly to help Gronk. For this week in particular, the Dolphins, under Matt Burke, their defensive coordinator, play a lot of zone coverage. They have historically played Gronkowski straight up with a vanilla zone looks, as opposed to doing anything special like what we saw from the Lions. And the Dolphins over the last 2 years have just gotten crushed by tight ends. So I do expect Rob Gronkowski to bounce back and have a big week this week. And hopefully Josh Gordon will be out there to space the field this week. He has been limited all week with a hamstring injury.
If he's out there, how many targets do you think a guy like Josh Gordon gets? There's so many owners I know over the years who always draft him, always hoping, always praying, always thinking, this is it. He's got all this talent. Well, he does have all this talent. Now he's playing at Foxborough. The dream of what he can be has got to be sky high, not only for Patriot fans, but for fantasy owners. But how quickly can he make that big impact, you think?
again, I think that he's going to be a guy, at least initially, that they're going to use to space the field and not necessarily target in bunches. Now, if he does reach a point where he knows the offense and, you know, they feel comfortable with him and trust factor is so big with Tom Brady, if Tom Brady gets to a point where he can trust Josh Gordon, we could see his targets go up. I think it would make sense really this week for them to just run him on a go, like on the first play of the game,
right,
and just establish that threat against the Dolphins and target him. You know, maybe he'll catch it, maybe he won't. But just to put that kind of fear and thought into the Dolphins' minds. But I do not expect him to be a guy who jumps in and, you know, he's getting 11 targets in his first game. Like, I think that 4.5 targets would be the over-under for week 4.
Mm. We're talking to Elvin Silva, Roto World Senior Football Editor. At some point, and maybe it's at the end of the season, but at some point Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to turn into Ryan Fitzpatrick. Maybe it's after he gets a new contract, or maybe it's this week against the Bears, a pretty good defense. He is right now, besides Goff and Cousins, you have to throw out because they have the extra game. Ryan Fitzpatrick's right there with Patrick Mahomes as probably the most productive fantasy quarterbacks over the first 3 weeks of the year. You have the guts, though, to start him against the Bears? How would you handle that?
I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, he is actually is the number one fantasy quarterback, at least entering week 4.
Right.
And Mahomes was number 2. It's a really tough one. The Bears are another team that have kind of wild home road splits in terms of how many points they've allowed over the last 8 games. The Bears, and this is with 7 games without Khalil Mack, they have allowed only 15.6 points per game at Soldier Field. Now they lead the NFL in sacks. They are 4th in quarterback hits. They are going to bring a lot of pressure for Ryan against Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Fitzpatrick throws picks. We saw that on Monday night against Pittsburgh. He had 3 picks. He's always been a guy that has thrown picks. So I think that he's going to turn the ball over, but the high-octane level at which this Buccaneers offense is functioning and with all the weapons that they have, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to roll him out as a starter. But, you know, this is a huge game for him because they have their bye in week 5.
Right.
And that at that point, they are going to determine, hey, are we going to go back to Jameis Winston or are we going to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick? And I think that so much of it is going to depend on his performance in Chicago this week.
Sure. Tough spot. Which of the Jet running backs right now, Crowell is getting in the end zone. I think he has 4 touchdowns already. Powell has 1 touchdown, but it was as a receiver. Which running back would you rather own right now, Crowell or Powell, for the rest of the season?
It is almost an even split in terms of playing time. Isaiah Crowell has a few more touches, and he's been getting the ball in the red zone. He has 9 red zone carries to only 2 for Bilal Powell. So if you play in a league where you're not getting points for receptions, Isaiah Crowell is your guy. If you're playing in a league where you do get points for receptions, I think that Bilal Powell has a little bit of an advantage. He has been involved more in the passing game. He's running more pass routes. He's getting more targets. But it really is a true even split there.
Give me a good defense, whether it's a – weekly league or a daily league or even a year-long league. I like to go week to week because I'm not drafting a defense, you know, early like some of these other bozos. Give me a good defense that to sink your teeth in this week.
Yeah, especially with scoring's way up, the guys who drafted the defenses early are not looking too smart right now.
No.
Because offenses really have a distinct advantage because of all the rule changes over the past, you know, decade plus, and it's definitely not smart to be drafting defenses early in a fantasy league. With regard to week 4, I really like the Colts. And the Colts should be available in most leagues. They are 10th in the NFL in sacks. They are playing at home this week. I'll always prefer my defenses to play at home. They are facing Deshaun Watson, who, you know, the Texans can put up points. Like, points allowed is not how you get fantasy points. It's not the foundation of the way that you get fantasy points for your defense.
Right.
You want sacks and you want turnovers.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson has thrown 7 interceptions over his last 5 games. Again, the Colts have been getting after the passer. Marcus Hunt has been a breakout player at age 31. And the Texans have allowed the 8th most sacks and the most quarterback hits in the NFL. So, in terms of a streaming defense, I love the Colts in week 4.
Not bad. Evan, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Evan Silva, Roto World Senior Football Editor.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.